Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
As a father, I can identify with a lot of that. I say a lot of those things quite often to my children, but look, it's Father's Day. I want to start by saying, if you're online with us, and we've got about 20 people online, hey, it's so good to have you with us live. If you're watching this later in the week, where we get most of our viewage, or you know, through the other social platforms, then a big welcome to you. We're so glad you could join us today. We pray that you are blessed. And if you are a bloke out there who has kids, happy Father's Day. And if you're in the room and you've got kids, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. It's a good day. But I also acknowledge too that it's a day full of emotion. It's a day, as a preacher, let you in on a little secret. As a preacher, I hate Mother's Day and Father's Day preaching for two reasons. The emotions are all over the shop. You have some people who are so ecstatically happy and jumping for joy and they get right into the day. You have people who didn't have great fathers at all, and it might be a bit sad. We have some people who may have lost their fathers, and it brings back memories. And so there's a lot of emotion that happens on a day like today. And so as a preacher, I do not like preaching Father's Day or Mother's Day. But, and there's always a but, I came across this verse, and it spoke to my soul. It spoke to my soul, and I'm praying it will speak to you too. It was an encouraging verse, a verse that just kind of jumped out at me this week. So I want to get right into it. So if you've got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at just a few verses there. We might start at verse 18, which is up on the screen. If you're joining us online, it's right there. So we're going to jump into these few verses, and I think they're powerful. There's a lot in these verses, and I may even come back and revisit these and pull it from a different angle. But for now, let's just get into these verses and see what God says to us on a day like today. Here we go. You ready? All right, there's three people ready. If you're ready online, just give me a thumbs up through the chat. That would be awesome. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Verse 18. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope. Say this hope. Oh, come on. Say it like, you know, you had a double espresso coffee this morning and you got a bit of energy. Say this hope.
This hope.
We have this hope, thank you. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I don't know, even reading that just makes me feel good. Knowing that we have an anchor for our soul, it's making me feel good just reading it. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where the forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Let's stop there, because there's some good stuff here. Because you see, we know what an anchor is, right? You all know what an anchor is. Is the job of an anchor is to kind of just to secure the boat. And it doesn't matter whether it's windy and the wavy and the sea is just all over the shop, or whether it's calm and quiet. An anchor keeps that boat exactly where it's meant to be. It keeps it where it's meant to be. It anchors to the bottom. And right here, the author, the writer, is telling us that we have this hope, an anchor for our souls. You see, to understand the full meaning of what the writer is really talking about here, we need to understand what he means when he says the word soul. Can I teach a bit today? You good with me teaching a bit? You see, in Genesis, I'm glad three people are with me today, that's good. In Genesis, we learned that we are created in the image of God. Yeah? We're all created in the image of God. God has three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we've been created in three parts. We are the body, this shell. Right, we have like the Bible sometimes calls it the flesh, but the body is what we're housed in when we're living here on earth. It's just a shell. We have this spirit, according to John 3, we have this spirit that when we give our lives to Jesus, this spirit man, this spirit woman inside of us just is birthed and we grow as a spirit. Like that's inside. It's the new operating system, I kind of call it in computer terms. And then we are soul. We are body, we are spirit, we are soul. And we see this in 2 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're body, we are spirit, and we are soul. And the writer here, when he says soul, is really referring to our emotions, our mind, and our will. Our emotions, our mind, and our will. And so you read these verses, and I get encouraged. I read these verses and go, my mind, my emotions, my will, like that, to have that anchor, to hold them in place. Because let's face it, the devil's not going to come to you. He's a little bit smarter than we give him credit for, I reckon. He's not going to come to you in the middle of the night, shake your bed, or send a demon to shake your bed and freak you out. Because if he did that, then we know what we're fighting, right? And if that's happening to you, because that doesn't happen to me, but if it's happening to you, we'll pray over you and put a stop to that straight away. But that doesn't happen. He doesn't attack us. He attacks us through the mind, through our emotions, through our thinking, through all of that kind of stuff, our emotions, our will, our minds. That's how he attacks us. And he does it so that he can get us a little bit shaky. Someone say shaky. Shaky, a little bit wobbly, a little bit wonky. I would kind of picture it, if you can think of, trying to stand firm on something, and you're just kind of a bit all over the place. And you guys might be holier than me, right? In fact, I know that you guys are holier than me. Like, I'm just going to talk about myself right here because I want to tell you something. I don't always wake up in the morning preaching or singing worship hymns in my mind. I sometimes wake up and scream at my kids to get out of bed so that they can get to school. I'm not in a space. I'm a little bit wonky, a little bit shaky. A little bit, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, my faith in God is perfectly fine. And it's not that my body is sinning in any deliberate way. I mean, we are all sinners and falling short, but, I'm not deliberately going. It's just my mind and my emotions and my will is a little bit shaky. I mean, again, me. I mean, you guys are probably, as I said, more holier than I am. But I don't wake up in the best of moods. My soul gets saved. I mean, I could get a text message, and as I'm reading the text message, it's from a person who's going, "Hey, Pastor, look, your message yesterday, that was so good. I mean, it was so good, and it spoke to my soul so much so that I went and talked to the neighbor, and as I talked to the neighbor, he gave his life to Jesus, and then we started talking to everyone else in the street, and now the whole street is saved for Jesus, and we meet at the front of the street, and all of us get together, and we're just partying all day long and singing worship songs. Even the dogs and cats are singing with us and all lined up, and I'd be floating on air. But the minute I finish reading that text message, I might get another one that says, that preacher, he's too loud. He's just too off the planet. He's no good. Like, his church is cold or hot or his seats or whatever. And as soon as I am up, I can be down. It's not that there's anything wrong. It's just my emotions, my feelings, my mind, my will bounces around a bit. And so when it says that we have this anchor for the soul, I get encouraged. I get encouraged because there is something that we can hang on to. You see, in the times in life when we think, that we need to do something or go this way or go that way, like anchors for us, anchors. This hope anchors us. It's an anchor for the soul. Someone say, this hope. Getting more excited than that. Like, we're talking about Jesus here. Say, this hope. You can do one more. This hope. This hope is a simple thing. Remember when it said two immutable, unchanging things? You see, when God said that, the two things here is this, and you need to capture this in your spirit. I can't teach this to you. I can't say it and you just believe. Like, you have to capture this as a concept in your hearts and souls, right? This is what it is. The hope that our God is good and that our God is faithful. Amen. Our God is good and our God is faithful. You thought I was going to say something a bit deeper than that over this side of the room, maybe. Our God is good and our God is faithful. That is the hope that we have. The revelation is something that needs to be hitting on our hearts, that our God is good and our God is faithful. Come on, say it with me. Our God is good and our God is
faithful.
You see, when life comes along, and it does come along, and when we hit life, the storms of life, and when we're struggling, when the anxiety hits, when our minds are off the planet, when we're being tossed in the sea of life with pressures of whatever comes our way, like when all this is happening and we can't see God working in our lives, and the storm and the waves just seems to lift us up and all is locked, we have a hope, which is that God is good and God is faithful, and that will anchor us and anchor our soul. Yes? Amen. And we can get to the rooftops. We can get to the highest of places. And the devil might try and shake us a bit. We could get a bit shaky. Nothing wrong with being a bit shaky. We may want to drift off, but this is the fact that our God is good and our God is
faithful.
Our God is good and our God. We might be in the palm of his hands and we may not see God working in our lives right there and then. And we may think everything is falling apart, but our God is
good.
And our God is. See, whatever the storm we end up in, whatever the trouble we find ourselves, we can trust that God has a master plan. And we may not see the master plan, but he has a master plan for our lives, that our God is good and our God is faithful, and he's doing something in our hearts to make sure we make it through. And our souls may be shaky, but we have this hope that our God is good and our God is faithful. And because he is good and faithful, we can stand firm and secure. Firm and secure. If you're online, just give me a thumbs up so I can see it come up on the thing. Give me some encouragement because these verses are powerful when you start to pull them apart. This hope, we have this hope that our God is good and our God is faithful, and that is an anchor for the soul. But Jesus is calling us to go a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. Can I get my three volunteers to come up? My three volunteers. Where's my three volunteers? Let me just pull this out here. I got four volunteers? All right. All right. Come and stand on this side, volunteers. Oh, no. Who's got? You go away. We'll get you in a minute. We'll get him back in a minute. Our God is good and our God is faithful. See, what tends to happen is we start to anchor our lives on the wrong things. Right? And I'm going to... We anchor to people, right? Can you hold that? Excellent. Right? We anchor to people, right? And yes, people are good. There are some people that are good. There are some people where God works through them and gets around. In fact, we are told, because we were created, that we're not created to be alone, but to be in community with people. Like to have godly men, godly women around us to instruct us and to keep us on the right direction, to teach us the word of God. People are there and life does get messy and I want to talk to someone, but what we tend to do is we anchor into people, right? Let me let you in on a little secret. People are people. People are people. People are people. That needs to go on a t-shirt somewhere. People are people. You know, like, because what happens is people will always let us down at some point. And look, I get it. Like, we have some, like, I'm married and my wife is my rock and she's there and she's good for me, but she is a person. She is people. I'm the pastor of the church and you guys could come to me, but ultimately, people are people and I'm a person. I'm a people. Right? Right? Now, just to make sure I got this right, I studied it in the Greek and people still means people. Right? And what happens is when we hook onto people and we try to stand secure, people start to drift around as well. So we get all shaky and instead of being firm and secure in everything we do, we lose track. Thank you. Stay on that side now. People will let us down. When I first arrived here, the very first sermon I preached, I was reminded of this in prayer meeting the other week. I think it was Kay that reminded me of this, and I love how God reminds you of things when you need it the most, right, to put it into a sermon. But God reminded me through Kay, I think it was, that when I first arrived here, my first sermon that I preached, I turned around and said that I will let yous down, that I'm not perfect, that there will be times when I will struggle. Why? Because I'm people. And people are people, right? Give me a nod, yes? Good, because if you blink at this message, you'll miss something. And this is so good. You need to go home tomorrow. Promise me you'll reread this tomorrow and, oh, not reread, re-listen or read the scriptures tomorrow and get some more out of it. But people are people. So we can't connect to people. It's too unstable. So what do? We've got to connect to career next, right? We think, oh, we can work hard. So connecting to career, hold that, right? And we sink our anchor into that, and there's nothing wrong with career. Can I tell you that? There's nothing wrong with working hard. Jesus says, or God says, work 6 days, take one off. Work hard. Most of us, you know, when we work 5 days. But he says, work 6 days, you know? So we can hook into it. There's nothing wrong with climbing the business ladder. There's nothing wrong with earning money. The Lord knows we need people to be in business, to be in those spaces so that they can tithe to the church, right? We need people in business. But if we hook ourselves into career, it's not stable enough. So when you're going a bit shaky, you know, career starts to move around as well, and you never stay where you're supposed to stay either, because you're in the wrong place. And this is evident, especially last year. Just stay there. Last year, when a pandemic hit the world, how many people who had a career lost their careers because of the worldwide pandemic? Out of their control. Look, businesses fail all the time. People lose their jobs. It's not good because career won't keep us steady. It won't keep us secure. And at the end of the day, we will retire. We will not be working. The business could go bust. Everything might change, like a worldwide pandemic and companies and all that fall apart. But do you know what I realised? That if you're working towards a career, then most of the people you're working with are people. And people are what? People are people. So you can't go into people, you can't anchor into career. Well, how about results? We all like results, right? We anchor into results. That's me anchoring into results. Stay there. I will in a minute. Results is not a bad thing. I'm result driven. I like results. You know, we remember the first person who landed on the moon. We remember the second person, maybe. Who was the third? Shut up. Who was the fourth? Fourth? No fourth? Yeah. People are people, people. Results. We can anchor into results. And I like things to be perfect. I want everything to be like, I'm that kind of person where, if a, Megan will tell you, if a sign is slightly crooked, it drives me nuts. Because I want it to be perfect. I want everything, like I can get, like... We want results. We want the validation for our work. We want the thing that comes with the results and all that. But here's the thing. We could do everything humanly possible to get the right result and still not get the result we want. Yeah? Last year, we organised a charity ride toy run from Augusta up to Busselton. We did everything right. We had COVID plans in place. We had... people, we did the advertising and the post, everything was done. I drove down to Augusta in the morning with our trailer. We got there. Out of an expected 200 bikes, 20 turned up because it was raining. We didn't see the rain. This is in December and it was bucketing out. Of the 200 we expected to finish, only 20 made it. Because it was raining, and we could do everything we want to get the results we want, But the problem is, results are not firm enough. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And it will just keep drifting because they will keep moving. More than that, though, if we want results, right, it's never going to be enough. We want more and more and more and more. So it's not stable enough. You can stand over there with them. Thank you. We can't anchor into people. We can't anchor into career. We can't anchor into results. We cannot do it because it will not keep us firm and secure. So now this is where Jesus is. We flew away, flew him in here, direct from heaven. He's here. Direct from heaven. And the beard. And we could hook into Jesus, but he's not moving. He's firm. He's solid. He's not going anywhere. So when my stuff starts getting, and I get a bit shaky, and I'm all over, but I'm not going any further than this. You see what I'm saying? He's secure. In fact, the scriptures talk about Jesus being the forerunner, going into the Holy of Holies, right? It's exactly what it says, right? Remember? Right? So just start walking that way a little bit. So stop there. You're probably off screen by that stage. Because Jesus is going into the Holy of Holies. Where is he going? If you know your Old Testament well, right? He's talking about the tabernacle. And in the Holy of Holies is where the Spirit of God was said to be. We know he's been released from that and the Holy of Holies has been opened, but he's referencing this to make a point. The point is that Jesus is the first, the solid rock, and he's the forerunner, taking us into the Holy of Holies, taking us into the place where God is. And so he goes deeper, and when we do that, we get to deeper relationship with Jesus, deeper relationship with God, because we get closer and closer, and our connection holds us firm. Amen? But here's the thing, right? I did say that these three things were not bad. It's just if we anchor to these three things, it's wrong. Yeah? All right, you three, get in here. All right? Get between me and Jesus. See, now I have people around me in my life. And I have a career and I have results and stuff happening because I'm anchored to Jesus. And so the role of these guys are to help me get closer to Jesus, not further away. Does that make sense? But as he calls us closer and closer to Jesus, right? As he foreruns and goes into the Holy of Holies, all of you just start going that way, right? All of a sudden, he keeps going, just keep going, just walk straight off the stage and get to about there and stop. Right? You see, now, right, I have capacity, room for other things. I have room for other things. And you can put anything you like in here as long as it's pointing you and anchoring on to Jesus. See, the blessings that God has for us sometimes are not there because we are still in the shallows. And we just don't have any capacity to take on the blessing God has for us. But when he takes us deeper, into deeper waters, when the anchor is going further and further away, and that's holiness, people. That's you know, this is growing in faith. This is God is calling us to something deeper. And then we have capacity. Does that make sense? Then all these things that we want, the blessings, the other things that we heart desire, as long as we're connected to Jesus and he's taking us into the Holy Holies and he's moving that way, we have capacity. And as we learn to trust him but still hold on to the rope in the deeper waters, we gain more and more and more capacity. Does that make sense? We may be shaky. Thank you, guys. You can all go sit down. We may have capacity if we allow him to go and be the forerunner for us. How good is that? I'm preaching, this stuff is good for me, right? This is good for me. Like, we need to anchor onto Jesus and not onto anything else. I don't know where I am in my notes anymore. I should maybe just throw them away. All right. See, I feel God this morning. We're going good, right? We're going for it. See, this is the hope we have. Say this hope. this hope that is an anchor for our souls. So when we are shaky, when we are wobbly, when we are all over the place, when our minds are going haywire and crazy, we have an anchor that is in the right place. That we have a God who is good and a God who is faithful. And it doesn't matter what happens because we are still anchored. We're not going to go anywhere. Amen? John 16:33, you know, says this. I come to give you this peace. So he's talking about Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. In other words, the storms are going to come. The trouble's going to come. Things are going to happen. And you've got to be anchored right. If you're not anchored right, then you're going to be blown all over the place in that trouble. But then he says this, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. What he's saying is, take heart, you've anchored right. You could be firm and secure in what's going through. Doesn't mean you won't be a little bit shaky. Let's face it, we all get a little bit shaky. There's nothing wrong with us when we get a bit shaky. But we stand firm. We hold on when we're anchored. Where's my Bible? I want my Bible now. I've lost it. Someone get me a Bible. Why don't they? Oh, there it is. Ha! Asking you shall receive. It's right there. I prepped it there before, you see. God can keep us firm and secure. Say firm and secure. See, God keeps us firm and secure in the storms. And we can trust that. We anchor onto that. That's the hope we have. This is this hope for us today, that we can be firm and secure. Verse 13. I might get the keys to start coming up and working me down from where I'm at because I'm kind of pumped. You guys enjoy this? Yeah? Is it helping? Because I want to give you something that's going to help you tomorrow. I want to give you something that's going to help you Wednesday, because we come to church and we feel good after church. Sunday it's like, yeah! But on Monday and Wednesday, when the devil comes and we're a bit shaky, reread this stuff. Reread this stuff. You see, in a few verses before this, I'll read one verse, but to save us a little bit of time, verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 6. It says, when God made his promises to Abraham, since there was no greater than him, he swore by himself. What the writer says right here is that God, right? Because back in this day, they used to make promises to each other, oaths to each other. You know, we would call it a contract in today's world, right? And what would happen is people made a contract and they would swear by a higher power. That would swear to do whatever it is that's said to do by higher power. Well, God here is saying, there is no higher power than me. I am God. There's no one above me. So what does he do? He swears to himself and says, I will keep my promises that I've given you. The promises I've made that I am good and I am faithful, I will keep those promises. The promises that he has a plan for you, he will keep those promises because there's no power greater than him. So God swears by himself because he doesn't need anyone to actually correct him or to hold him accountable. He just says, I'm powerful enough to do it. And so he says, I will do that. Like some people swear for an hour. He's making it clear to us that this hope that we have, this hope that we have, is an anchor for our soul. And as I said, it doesn't matter if you're a bit shaky. It doesn't matter if your mind is racing. If we're anchored right, it will bring us back. Because we won't move further away. But in that, he will keep taking us deeper and deeper. You see, what I love about the Bible, there's so much cool stuff in the Bible, is this. This is not in the list, but it says this at the very start of chapter 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings of Christ and be taken forward to maturity. You see, when the anchor gets to a deeper water, it might get shaky and we might not know what God is doing, and you know, but if we're still anchored there, he can take us as deep as he likes. And we will grow in that. We'll have capacity to have other things added in. God wants us to grow past the shallow waters, past the surface Christianity stuff, and move forward. And yes, this day has been a day full of emotions. Our emotions could be up and down, our will could be up and down, our you know, mind could be up and down and racing with things, but if we're anchored right, it won't matter. We'll be shaky, might be a little bit off, but we can hold firm. So we're going to sing this song. I'll get the singers to come back up. My hope is built on nothing less. Cornerstone. He talked about being the person who just anchors us, holds us firm and secure. I don't know about you, but these are exciting, exciting verses. So I want to challenge you today with this simple thought and idea. What are you anchoring onto? What are you hooking into? Because I know for myself that I've sometimes hooked into the fact that the Salvation Army is a church and it should be God's instrument, but the Salvation Army has let me down because it's made up of people. I can tell you I've gone to work and work and work and pumped my thing into the career, but that will not matter because I'm working with people. And I can get all the results in the world, but it may not matter because God might do something different because He's got the master plan, not me. And so where are you putting your hope? Some people could put it in drugs, some people could put it in alcohol, some people could put it in whatever. But the truth is, unless we are anchored to Jesus Christ, we're not going anywhere. And then we can let Him go into the Holy of Holies and take us with us, anchoring and growing us from the inside out. So let's sing this song and really just reflect on those ideas. What are you anchored in? And where is God taking it? Does He want you to go deeper? Beyond the surface Christianity, beyond the shallows, deeper into deeper water, into deeper places with Him. And we may not understand it, we may be shaky, but as long as we're holding on, we have got a firm and secure hold for our soul. Yeah? Amen? Amen. Let's sing.